Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, Dibs, I know where you stand. I know where I stand, but I let's put it out there to everybody listening. 888-957-9570. If you would like to talk out the idea of whether or not you have a problem with the way the 49ers have approached playing their players this year. And obviously, namely, we're talking about the quarterback. I have a hard time with this. I have a hard time blaming doctors and coaches and executives and players themselves for playing when they, even if they mostly feel healthy, for two reasons. Number one, I'm a fan of, I don't care what you do in life, will you fight, please? Fight. Fight through it. Good Lord, how soft is everybody? Protect him for later. What are we doing? This is a football team. Protect him for later. And that's my other issue with it. That doesn't exist. That doesn't exist. You can't protect football players. How many NFL players this year have gotten hurt in practice?
So, I'm sure a bunch, yeah.
A bunch. So this idea of, well, let's wait for later. Like, he could get hurt in practice. They're football players. There is no protecting them. So I really do. I have an issue with this idea that that the 49ers did something wrong by playing their player, even if he wasn't 100% last Sunday.
I have a hard time with outsiders, fans, you, me, everyone else who gets a microphone or calls in to 888-957-9570. You can have an opinion. You're entitled to it. But at the end of it, for me, you have no idea. None of us has seen the toe. None of us is really a doctor. And even Dr. Nirav Pandya, who we love, yep, who is a doctor, I doubt that he's seen the toe. So he can only project and speculate on the severity and what it might mean. And that's where the 2 to 5 comes in, because even the Niners doctors, if Ian Rappaport of NFL Network talked to people with the Niners and they said, yeah, 2 to 5, 2 to 5 is a 4-week span. So even at that, they're also guessing. So the people who have seen the toe, they don't know. The man who has the toe, he doesn't know. So he sits 2 and he feels good enough to go out there and practice, and that goes well. And then he feels good enough to go out there and play, and that doesn't go well. And so now we sit here and we do a Wednesday afternoon quarterback, not Monday morning, but Wednesday afternoon quarterback, and now he's not playing tomorrow. And so now we all beat the drum on what a mistake and how reckless and how it's a bad look and the rest of it. None of us know. None of us know what the toe was like and how bad it really was. The people who were there and the player, they thought, you know what? I can give it a go. Yep. It's football. It's dangerous. And I'm going to go out there and see what happens. And he played, and he didn't play great. Was it because of the toe? Again, we can guess. We can look at the film and go, ooh, he's not pushing off. And I saw the ball not being ripped, right. And I haven't seen it rip all year. And so, yeah, we can all speculate what it is. Bottom line, they thought he was good to go, and he was. He played. He didn't come out of the game. He got hurt, and now he sits.
Yep, I'm all in on that idea. Like, dude, try to play. Like, how funny is this? You know, $265 million, and you don't want him to fight to play? Boy, you better fight to play. What an odd idea, in my opinion, that we should just be saving people for later when it comes to the urgency of the NFL. You get 17 of these a year. And if you can play, you play, especially when you're an important player. Now, if you think you're actually hampering the team, that's a different one. And I don't think that the 49ers thought that. I don't think Brock thought that. I will say this to your other point about, like, was the toe part of why he played poorly out there? Again, you're right. We're guessing. We don't know. I found it interesting that many of you I know follow him. He's kind of become the guy as far as in-game injuries and being able to kind of assess what's going on, because he used to be the Chargers team doctor. I found this interesting. Dr. David Chow was actually on a halftime video chat, halftime of the Niner game. And he's like, by video, I'm telling you right now, like, Brock is struggling with his toe based on the way the ball is coming out of his hand. That toe is bothering him. That is from a former team doctor. You want to believe it? You want to throw it out in the trash? Doesn't matter. I found that interesting. And so if you're seeing the ball sail a little bit, his assessment was that that's what happens when someone is struggling through their plant foot as a quarterback. So maybe it did have something to do with it. But never forget that Mac Jones couldn't walk. Mac Jones was not healthy and therefore unable to play. So, look, it's a bummer. Brock Purdy's going to miss his third game in 5 weeks to start a really important season. At the same time, the Niners are 3-1. They got a little bit of wiggle room. Tomorrow night is not going to be definitive as far as their season goes. So, yeah, it sucks. But good on you, as far as I'm concerned, Brock and Niners, for pushing. Trying to play. That's what you do in life when things are hurting. You go for it.
Well, maybe he didn't even push. Maybe he was feeling pretty good. Yep. And again, we don't really know. And that's where a lot of times I think it's important to defer to the experts. And you can blame strength and conditioning for the rash of injuries if you want. But again, we don't really know if that's the case. And turf toe and torn ACL and, you know, Juwan Jennings with a possibly broken rib, whatever happened to him in the goal line, that's not strength and conditioning. That's football players getting footballed, and you get hurt sometimes when you play football. So Brock went out there and gave it a go, and he got hurt. We don't know if he'll be ready for Tampa. For me, the bigger issue going into tomorrow is no Juwan Jennings and no Ricky Pearsall. Jones is undefeated this year as a starter. Mac Jones has looked not as good as Brock, but he's looked good enough to win games. And yet you're going to have more Valdez-Scantling, Kendrick Bourne, and not a lot else. A lot of Tonjes. And again, what I said in the crossover about McCaffrey, that's coming. McCaffrey's going to get a ton of action in this football game.
You'd think. I don't know if it automatically, just because certain weapons are out, it means that now we're going to like so heavily lean on Christian that his touches are going to go through the roof. Maybe. Maybe they will. But look, the other side of that is you're going to have to involve people that you're not used to involving. So, yeah, Brian Robinson is going to have to get some looks out there, and a bunch of receivers who don't normally get looks. Like, I mean, it's brutal. Kendrick Bourne is an incredibly key player tomorrow night, and as of last week, he couldn't catch a football. And then the other guys, you know, Marquez Valdez-Scantling,
one catch.
Yeah, they have no chemistry yet. They're learning the offense on the fly. The one thing about Kendrick that's good, I guess, is he's been in Kyle's system before and he's played with Mac before. And when he played with Mac in New Orleans, he played pretty well. And then it was last week that he started dropping everything that got thrown to him. So is he capable? He's an NFL receiver. He can go out there and do some things. But tomorrow feels like a ridiculously difficult assignment.
Yeah, and I would say that the pick is in, but it can't be in because that number keeps climbing up and away. And, you know, going into, like, the look-ahead line, I was thinking, Rams, I think they were three and a half. Yeah. That's like, okay. And I told you 2 months ago that I thought that this was going to be a tough spot. And actually the line before the season even started was 1.5. The Niners were dog. And they were a dog at Tampa. The only two games they were underdog, and that thing's gone from 1.5 back in August to now it's at 7.5. And that thing may continue to climb up and up and up. And so, I mean, I'd love to say the pick is in, but if it ends up at 8 or 9, it becomes a tougher thing to look at.
This is going to be a super, like, happy-go-lucky way to look at it. But I think it's all you can do as a 49er.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan right now. The season is not going to end tomorrow night. And the worst case scenario when we go to bed tomorrow night is that the Niners are 3-2 and a game out of first place in the division, and they've got a week and a half to see if they can get more key people back. And in fact, even George Kittle could play. Like George Kittle, Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings, and Brock Purdy all might play.
Because Kittle's 4 weeks ends after tomorrow night. Tomorrow,
yeah. So like Tampa, week and a half, you're 3-2, and maybe the reinforcements are coming. And again, this is worst case scenario. In other words, this injury situation has kind of turned tomorrow night into house money. If you come out of there with a win tomorrow night, you're like, holy smokes.
Totally.
How the hell did we pull that off?
Yeah.
And the worst case scenario is not a preventative scenario. So
regarding,
here we are.
Well, as long as you don't lose anybody else, and you know, that's possible. It's football. But you know, the other part of it too is some people who haven't gotten a lot of action, they're going to get some action. And maybe it's Russell Gage who gets elevated from the practice squad, or we don't know who else is going to be out there. But I think it is kind of a free look at
it's a free punch.
What you have. You got a ton of backups out there.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous scenario.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.